Viking believes that a journey on the rivers of the world can be an experience designed for the thinking person. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Learn how to plan, invest, and live smarter with the Raymond James For What It's Worth podcast. Featuring insights from leading professionals, you'll get the latest in wealth management, market commentary, and engaging research. Listen today at raymondjames.com/podcast.
I'm Jace Lacob, and you're listening to a special bonus episode of Masterpiece Studio. After a busy few months on Corfu, the birth of two babies, the nascent revival of the Corfeid otter population, and even an attempted murder, Louisa Durrell has decided to let another man go, and this time he's heading home to England.
You can't say no.
Do you realize what you're asking me to do? Abandon the place that my family and I have come to love.
Though she tried her best to make the sputtering relationship with Hugh work, Louisa ultimately realizes her heart and her home is still with her family on Corfu.
As she says, there's just something that's missing.
We spoke with actor Keeley Hawes about the Durrell's zany second season antics and about how her roles in the series Spooks and Line of Duty changed her career and her life. This episode seems to have it all. Birth, death, lust, and even attempted murder. Is this just another day in Corfu?
It is, I'm afraid. Yes. Yes, it is. It's a really action-packed episode, that one. We have, as you say, there are birth, deaths, a christening, and an attempted murder.
So,
There's just about everything packed into the finale. And that was one of my favorite episodes.
There are three perfect shots in this episode. Louisa staring out at the ocean alone, Louisa crying in Spiro's arms in the car,
yes.
And finally Louisa telling her brood that she loves them at the edge of the cliff. Do these three similar images all encapsulate Louisa's state of mind in some way?
I think they absolutely do. And certainly the scene at the end, where we're all walking away after the christening, where Louisa turns to them and says, "I love you." And then she says, I think she says something like, "Oh," she apologizes in a very, very British way. I found that very moving. Partly because when I look at them, not only am I incredibly fond of them, and I do feel quite much. They've all got wonderful mothers, and they don't need that aspect of that relationship from me. But it's inevitable that I feel like that towards them, and I spend a lot of time with them. But when I look at them and I think about the fact that they did exist, and this little family did exist, and they had a mother that loved them, above all else. I found it quite moving now.
Wow.
It is. I think it has that wonderful thing that Simon Nye, our lovely writer, does, where there's a moment there that could be quite saccharine, and actually he just flips it, and she apologizes, for loving them. And there's something very British and something very real about that.
My favorite moment in this episode is the scene where Louisa encounters the rose beetle man,
yes.
A moment that really captures the beauty and magic of Corfu, an occurrence that Louisa later tells Hugh couldn't happen in the home counties. What does this moment represent for Louisa?
I think it represents freedom. It just represents everything that she has come to love about Corfu, and the reason that she has made the journey and turned their lives upside down, and she wants to make it work, and she knows that she can make it work. And that scene's very special to me, and I think anybody who has read Gerald's books and loves them will know exactly who that character is. And it doesn't matter, even if you haven't read the books, it's a beautiful moment. that tells you a lot about her and about the place and about where she is at that point. We spent a morning on that. You know, every department seemed to really enjoy it. And it was just a wonderful thing to be part of. And so Durrell's, it's a really magical Durrell's moment.
It is the epitome of magical tourism.
It really is, yeah.
In fact. Louisa turns down Hugh's offer to return to England. He gets stabbed by Vasilia. Do these two things change her notion of love and what love means?
I don't think they do change her notion of love. I think she's just more sure that that's not the sort of love that she would settle for. She loved Sven, and that was not to be. And you know, as we go into the second series, her heart is still, you know, hurting from that. And so she probably wasn't really ready to go into a relationship and settle down with somebody else. And it just so happens that Hugh actually wasn't that person anyway. So you know, and as she says to him, me and my children, we come in a bunch. And so also that relationship probably wouldn't have worked out for her and the children. And ultimately, that's what's important to her.
We touched on this briefly. There's that beautiful scene of Louisa crying in Spiro's arms in the car. Is this the moment where we do feel she loves him, but they cannot be together under any circumstances?
Yes. I mean, I think she's had a hell of a day with delivering Florence's baby, and then the attempted murder of Hugh, and you know, she sits with Spiro, and it all comes out. But he's her, you know, he's her best friend, and he's the one that she can, you know, collapse in front of. She can let her guard down completely, and in a way that she probably wouldn't have done with the children because it would be upsetting, but she can with him because he's her very best friend. So yes, it's very moving.
Louisa begins the season by saying that things are going to change, and they do. Babies are born, relationships falter and grow, animals are saved. Is that ultimately the nature of the show, that life is ever changing, so live in the moment?
Yes, I think it is. And certainly that last episode, everything changes, you know, from the beginning of the hour to the end of it. Everything has changed again. But I think the Durrells are very good at change. And certainly Louisa is very welcoming of it. So and it sort of then sets us up for a fresh start in series three, you know, for some new adventures.
Before this next question, a brief word from our sponsors.
All Veranda staterooms. Every day, a new view. Viking, offering a small ship experience on the world's oceans and a shore excursion in every port. Viking, exploring the world in comfort. Learn more at viking.com.
Coming up next on Masterpiece on PBS... Mr. Bates versus the Post Office continues Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central, followed by the finale of Alice and Jack at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central.
You were 26 when you were cast as Zoe in Spooks, which
yes.
Aired over here as MI5.
Yeah.
What did that experience mean to you aside from meeting your future husband in co-star Matthew McFadden?
It was wonderful. It was really sort of quite a life-changing in many different ways, but it was sort of an unexpected hit, really. And the main cast, the three of us, me and my now husband Matthew McFadden and David Oyelowo, we sort of between us were relatively unknown by anybody, and it became a hit show here, and so it opened lots of doors for us, and we all became firm friends, and we still are now.
You took over from John Sims' Sam Tyler in Life on Mars to play D.I. Alex Drake in one of my all-time favorite series, Ashes to Ashes.
Oh, thank you.
What was the experience like, and what was it like dealing with fan reaction?
It was a very cold experience. I was very cold. I remember that. We shot in the winter in the East End of London for 3 years. And so when I think about that job, I just think mainly of being cold. But I, again, you know, I got on, the cast were absolutely lovely. Again, we're all still very friendly. Philip Glenister is just wonderful, and Dean Andrews and Montserrat Lombard, they just, it was a lovely thing to be part of. And the show changed quite dramatically from Life on Mars, you know, to Ash as the era changed. It was quite odd. People weren't sure, I don't think, what to make of it at first, but then it was very successful, so.
And it culminated in my favorite finale of all time, which made me sob endlessly. What was it like filming such a pivotal episode that managed to tie up five seasons of storylines while being so emotionally resonant?
We were all in tears for days. It was so sad. It was so, so sad. And we wrapped the entire show on Philip Glenister and I share a birthday. And we were shooting our last scenes in a crematorium on our birthday, and it was just all very odd. The show was very surreal anyway. And we ended up drinking champagne in this crematorium with a big pink birthday cake and a big blue one and all sort of looking at each other and, you know, crying. So it was a fairly fitting end to that show, but it was a lovely experience.
That is
on the whole
amazing. Between The Durrells, Line of Duty, Spooks, Ashes to Ashes, and truly an insane IMDb resume, what role do you get recognized the most for these days?
It depends really. What's on TV at the time is usually what I'm recognized for, but I do get called Mrs. Durrells a lot. yes, which is very sweet. And obviously we are watched by lots of families and children. And so quite often children, you know, are quite surprised to see Mrs. Durrells. I'm quite pleased, I'm happy to say.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about how difficult it was to play Line of Duty's, we'll call her unbalanced copper, Lindsay Denton.
It's very kind.
The focus for the second season of the show, who, spoiler alert, returned rather unexpectedly in season three. What was it like playing such a Quicksilver character?
It was just fantastic. I was very flattered to be asked to go back for a third series because, you know, the concept of the show is that each season somebody else is investigated. So it was a surprise to me to be invited back. But it was wonderful. I mean, that sort of writing, Jed Mercurio's writing is so special, and those sorts of scenes, you know, I think that at one point we had a 35 page scene in television. It's just unheard of. It's probably quite a good thing. but they just work, and it's a bit like doing a play. You know, that sometimes the takes are 45 minutes long, and it takes such a huge amount of concentration from everybody involved. You know, you wouldn't want to be the boom operator, for example. You know, everyone, it really has to give it their all. And so there's an enormous sense of achievement, really, that comes from doing something like that. And certainly a show like that and a character like that who then sort of seem to capture people's imaginations in a way that you can never predict. It was a fantastic thing to be part of, yeah.
How did playing Lindsay change your career going forward?
Well, it did change my career, really. It changed the way people saw me, I think, in just in that, I think playing somebody as sort of, there's nothing glamorous about Lindsay Denton. And I think if you can show that you're prepared to go to those lengths, then it can be quite eye-opening for people. She just went to some very, very dark places. And so I think that's probably what did that.
Keely Hawes, thank you so much.
No problem at all. It was an absolute pleasure.
And that's a wrap on 2017 for us here on Masterpiece Studio. But you can tune in at the beginning of 2018 for interviews with the cast and creative talent behind Victoria, set to premiere on Masterpiece January 14th, 2018. While you wait for Victoria Season 2, be sure and catch up on our interviews with the cast from Season 1. The episodes with Jenna Coleman, Tom Hughes, Rufus Sewell, and Daisy Goodwin are all available on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever else you listen to podcasts. Masterpiece Studio is hosted by me, Jace Lacob, and produced by Nick Anderson. Alicia Etoup is our editor. Special thanks to Barrett Brontis. Suzanne Simpson is our executive producer. The executive producer of Masterpiece is Rebecca Eaton. Sponsors for Masterpiece on PBS are Viking Cruises, Farmers Insurance, and the Masterpiece Trust. Masterpiece Studio is officially a Webby Awards nominee for 2024. We are honored to be considered among such talented competition, but we need your vote. Head over to vote.webbyawards.com and vote for Masterpiece Studio in the podcast section, where you'll find us listed in the general television and film category. Voting closes Thursday, April 18th, so be sure to get your vote in soon. That's vote.webbyawards.com. Thank you.